Important that we get the news. It's also important that those having pet birds take caution until our helpers can catch a cat, not a big tiger, but a small cat that came onto the property last evening, and we want to be cautious. We want to watch very carefully the birds and small animals. Very, very important. It was only on the edge of our property, but it was serious enough that it represented a threat to the life of one parrot. So we wish you to take note of this fact. Numbers of things come in when you have unusual amount of rain. People have the right kind of gratitude. They have no problem. If I had done nothing, it's a miracle of protecting people from ever having a snake bite, not one snake bite in all these years. That would be proof enough of the power of the paranormal in me. But anyway, we want those precautions taken. Going into the news, Postmaster General of Guyana says mail service is not going to suffer severely over the strike. In this country, there is plenty of freedom, contrary to all the lies about the referendum. Workers are striking in the postal services, demanding more managerial participation in work, elimination of managerial elitism, and even increasing wages. The workers have said that there has been too much time taken by the management to get things settled. Picketing is going on outside all post offices in Guyana, and there is no interruptions of any kind by police in this free country. A man is prosecuted for having an unlawful possession of a Magnum pistol and 20 rounds of ammunition. They are very considerate in Guyana. They don't believe in severe sentences. He was only fined $250. Another gentleman was arrested on Tuesday for corruption in the Guyana National Service, an officer by the name of Benjamin. They're coming down on white collar, our governmental corruption, more severely than anything. A businessman arrested in Georgetown for selling two packages of cigarettes. He sold the cigarettes for $2 instead of 90 cents a piece, which is the control price. He got 6 months in jail plus $500 fine. He sold the cigarettes to an undercover policeman. Guyana is very, very strict about the resale of foods, tobaccos, alcohol. One must always realize that that is in the interest of the socialist government to protect its people, and we admire them for that. So we want to be sure if we ever resell any food item that we are within that controlled price figure. It should be listed here on one of our walls, perhaps in the radio room. Businessmen in Guyana have been indicted for a fraudulent scheme. They had been selling shares in a fraudulent shoe business to a number of farmers. Some had put in as much as $2,000. It was a bogus investment, and the businessmen are being sought. Two have been arrested thus far. Quarantine River. Cache of milk, other foods stored, and also salt thought to be caught in a smuggling operation across Quarantine River. Arrested for storage of the food not being in a bond. The gentleman storing the food was arrested for not being in a bond. We have been allowed to bring in food as an agricultural project. We bring it through the ordinary channels. They're very strict also about such smuggling operations of foods or any other items that are banned. A series of courses, ideological socialist courses. Aubrey Armstrong, in charge of the courses on Marxism and trade unionism, are being given in all of the various governmental sectors and the corporations and industries that have been nationalized and socialized by the Guyana government. A fund is being raised for freedom fighters in Zimbabwe. Even some will be going from Guyana. My God, my God, how brave Guyana is. This will be upsetting as hell, infernal hell, to USA. They're very open about it. It's coming over Guyana Broadcasting Network. That's what they're doing. I'm sure they're not too happy about Marxist-Leninism, trade unionism, being taught in all of the unions and all the industries to all the workers. It seems to be a serious endeavor on the part of this government, the Socialist Cooperative Republic of Guyana, to educate all of its people in the principles of socialism and Marxist-Leninism. At every trade union meeting, at the CCWU, there will be this kind of instructions. Low-cost book production, and display of low-cost bookmaking that can be now done in Guyana, is going to be demonstrated at the exhibit where we have been asked to put on an exhibition. The metrification seminar in Guyana will also be at the exhibition at the University of Guyana. It's important that we all learn the metric system. Guyana is going on the metric system 1980. Guyana Telecommunications Commission, difficulties in getting materials and supplies in order to perform public services. Hopeful assistance will come from the East German Democratic Republic, an ally of the Soviet Union. Dr. Hamilton Green, who gave us our first start on rabbits, is the Minister of Health, Labor, will be on Program Action Line this Sunday, discussing some of the government's efforts to give socialized medicine to all of the people. Trinidad and Tobago, in their magazine, Express News, said butter and cheese is expendable. Transportation of medicines should be promoted. We don't have to have butter and cheese in the Caribbean. Tighten the belt buckle on consumer items. It's not only the trend in Guyana, but all of the Caribbean, CARICOM, something like the Commonwealth, or the European Common Market that exists here in the Caribbean. They're going to cut off frills and get down to business about things that people can't live without, like medicines and other important clothing and basic food items. Jamaica. The Workers' Liberation Party is gaining momentum in Jamaica. It's a new Marxist-Leninist party in Jamaica. They are beginning to demonstrate strong support in every village, hamlet, and city. It is pure scientific socialism. Prime Minister Manley is a socialist who has been pressured greatly by having to take the International Monetary Fund that has no grip on the economy, because most of all the means of production and means of distribution are owned by big business. Nonetheless, Prime Minister Manley has shown great loyalty to Cuba and the African Liberation Movement. This is an encouraging sign. There's a strong grassroots communist party that's springing up, gaining considerable momentum, and thus far has not been stopped. Workers' Liberation Party of Jamaica. Rhodesia. Ian Smith will say if they will attend talks with the Patriotic Front. He's being pressured on all sides, United Nations, and all the rest of the Organization of African Unity. But he will not, at this time, declare his intentions, whether there will be any negotiations with the Patriotic Front. Steve Sherrill said they should support an all-party conference. He had been in his interim regime. Again, there is no further word, nor can anyone ever predict what the racist Ian Smith will do. Johannesburg, white nurse who protected a black man by refusing to give evidence, has been arrested, and her license has been dropped by the full nursing council. She may lose permanently her license to practice nursing, and she will receive a sentence of 1 year in jail. She would not testify in an obvious frame-up that was intended to hurt, torture, and politically persecute one of the many blacks that these days are being persecuted in such a manner in South Africa and Rhodesia. Romania sells oil drilling material to China. Large amounts of oil off of China's coast. They want to make deal with the People's Republic of China, the USSR, the Soviet Union, a close ally of Romania, seems to have no objection. It is considered that China will probably become one of the richest oil nations in the world from oil that's off their coastline. Sistine Chapel, they're testing the smoke as a test run to prepare for the election of the new Pope. There is little speculation as to whether the Pope will be liberal, moderate, conservative, or just a non-entity. Passenger sucked out of a Philippine airliner, rear toilet, where an explosion occurred, explosion at 24,000 feet. No explanation has been given for the explosion, although there were members of the Philippine government, reactionary government, on board that has been supported by USA and was brought about by CIA coup, more of our tax dollars. James Earl Ray has been caught in twists and turns of heavy testimony, heavy interrogation. Radio Voice of America says that he's been found in conflicting testimony. He'd still insist he did not shoot Martin Luther King. He said it was a conspiracy with the FBI, and everybody is trying to cover up. He said he was a very fatigued man from the ordeal he'd gone through in the scuffle he had with U.S. Marshals and being kept up for 48 hours with lights on him so he could not rest. Arrested a man in Chicago, Campelius, accused of selling top secret systems. He's a former CIA agent, some kind of technical manual. He was supposedly sold for $3,000 to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, to Russia. The former CIA agent, I'm sure it will never be suggested that it was anyway a human rights violation. Seems like a pretty cheap price for someone to sell something of value to the Soviets for a former CIA agent to do so. Ghana Broadcasting Studios also mentioned that this former CIA agent had been critical of CIA cloak and dagger tactics and practices. He faces life in prison. Further news in the world. Cut in Social Security pay has caused a temporary appearance of having more income. People are now having to pay less into Social Security, not realizing that they're cutting their nose to spite their face. For when they age or retire, their Social Security benefits will be lower than they are today, while right presently, no one's Social Security is sufficient to meet the rising cost of living under the horrible inflation. Anyway, the defense of the James Earl Ray situation goes on. As Stokes, Black Uncle Tom Congressman, has tried to tear up his testimony, make him appear as being the only assassin of Martin Luther King. However, even the World News admits that there are grave doubts as to the question of James Earl Ray being a lone assassin. Ray's clothes was taken into a laundry on a day he was not there in Atlanta. They traced his whereabouts and his comings and goings from Missouri, where he was offered to a channel, a mediator, $50,000, or the $50,000 was challenged to him or anyone else that was accepted by two businessmen who have since been assassinated, conveniently, so they can't talk anything about it. Very, very bad situation.
Shannon, would you give me the papers I got over my bed?
New York, three major daily newspapers are still on strike. Bus crash in Quebec, right near Montreal, almost near where the other bus crash a few days ago appeared. Everything happens in threes. Several children were killed. You remember just a few days ago, a similar place near Montreal, 46 were killed as a bus went into a lake. It was just within a very short distance where this second crash has happened. It seems threes are kind of a nasty thing to deal with. Croatian nationalist who had also wanted to break away from Yugoslavia and were for that reason more pro-Soviet. Six of them, you know, originally went down to two. They were holding six hostages. A brother of one of the Croatian nationalists that they were concerned about came and talked to them and caused them to give up their hostages. They were holding the hostages because of a Croatian nationalist. Anyway, if people are going to start on a action, they should either follow through or not start it. The Croatian brother convinced them that his mother in jail would not want this done. However, I do not know how he would presume to talk for the Croatian nationalists being held in the West German jails on these Red Brigade charges. As I said, the CIA official is going to be indicted and charged. He will serve no less than life imprisonment for selling a technical manual, supposedly, probably a frame-up, to the Soviet Union, because he had been formerly critical of Soviet practices. Foreign investments are helped by income tax proposals of Congress, of course, and a move to remove some $16 billion of income taxes. They greatly favor, of course, the rich. Carter has protested, but has not thought about whether he will veto. His secretary said they doubted very much if Carter would veto the tax bundle, the handout to the rich. The rich are actually getting away with not paying as much taxes as they did in 1969. By investing in foreign companies, they can almost manage to pay no taxes whatsoever. One congressman feebly spoke out that the only people getting any help from this tax reduction plan were those making over $50,000 a year. He suggested at least there'd be some help for those under $20,000. They're getting no help at all. So who do they think they're kidding? Two American balloonists in France. Air France will fly them home free, in spite of them landing in a wheat field and placing U.S. flag and acting like buffoons. Nonetheless, that's what the greatest part of the news of USA Broadcasting is, about the great new Lindbergh balloonist. I wouldn't bag on Lindbergh. As I said, he was pro-Hitler all during World War II. He was right on the stands of Hitler saying Sieg Heil, and led the Nazi movement in USA, the German-American moon. It's still obviously very strong, in view of what's happened to Scientology and all the hell that broke loose on us when we told about the Nazis hiding and being protected by the U.S. government. Two U.S. reporters did not go to court for the third time, even though they violated Soviet law. The Soviets had warned that there will be other actions taken, whether this will be in the form of reprisal against reporters who are more or less agents of the CIA, even by U.S. press admission. Nearly all newsmen abroad and at home have served in the CIA. Just a few weeks ago, we learned of 400 leading foreign news correspondents that have been giving information to the CIA. So we will wait for the Soviet decision. Their court order has been defied. In the Soviet Union, slander and libel is very, very frowned upon. It's a very serious crime. Even if a person is guilty, found guilty in the court, cannot be printed about in newspapers because it hurts innocent loved ones. That shows socialist sensitivity that USA would know nothing about. Carter, summit at Camp David. Condition, he said, we have to give consideration, even though there's not too much hope that a great deal will come out of the meetings with Egypt and Israel. We have to lessen tensions, and these talks may provide the appearance of lessening tensions. He said there would be no commitments as a prerequisite. Much news about the former CIA agent keeps coming across the air, getting $3,000 for selling. Now it's called a top secret document. A while ago it was called a technical manual. Must have been too top secret to only get $3,000. Interesting enough, though, the Campinas, the CIA agent, had been, as I said, very critical of CIA terrorist activities. The Croatian nationalists surrendered, as I said, gave up all their hostages, and the Voice of America made a great deal to do that they didn't get any of their demands met. That's what's bad about fools who play like they're going to do something, and they're going to take a stand, take a whole group of people hostage, and then give up about 5 hours later after somebody gives them a few oranges and listens to a cop talk to them in very condescending terms, then have all the Voice of America dampen the spirits of every other person that might do an act of courage that was truly revolutionary, not terrorist, hearing the Voice of America say they didn't get any of their demands met. They gave up their hostages and got none of their demands met. James Earl Ray did not commit the bank robbery in England, in spite of the effort of Stokes, Uncle Tom, who is fronting for all of the interrogators in this select committee on assassinations that's meeting in the House. I guess it is select, all right. Selected with people who will not endanger the capitalist system by letting the truth out in their closed-door hearings. Anyway, they have not been able to pin that on him. They're trying to find a way to say that he had money through criminal acts of his own. When he left the Missouri prison just a few days before without a penny. Carter's energy program is in trouble. The president tried to break the deadlock. Two senators signed another report to cut oil imports and strengthen the dollar. But it doesn't look like anybody's going to go along with Carter until oil imports are cut. They have to cut down on oil imports, buying of oil. That means U.S. drug drivers are going to have to cut down to 2 gallons of gas a day. Tony Wayne says, some senators, that he could strengthen the dollar, and Carter seems to be afraid to do that, because obviously if he does, he'll probably never be able to be elected for even dog catcher. There's talks for reaching tentative agreement in the police and firemen strike in Memphis, even though the teachers have participated in the negotiations with the strike and have refused to cross any picket lines. Plane. Four were blown out of a fuselage. 78 passengers are okay. Now that Philippine airline evidently sabotage meant to reach at some of the Philippine government reactionaries. Some Red Army move or something. No one has yet claimed responsibility, but at 24,000 feet, four of them went out the hole before they could get the plane landed. James Earl Ray and the terrible grilling of the third day, going into the third day of testimony, and his health not good, has the assistance of Mark Lane, famous author and attorney, who's trying to raise objections to improper questioning and what is obviously a kangaroo court determined to maintain what the government has said originally, that James Earl Ray is the only assassin of Martin Luther King, that he had enough sense when uneducated, no money, to be able to get away, pull all the Memphis police off, cause them to go the wrong way, get through Canada, England, and Europe, down into Portugal with a rich banker, and he did this all without the help of anyone. Really, they do expect a lot of us to believe that kind of shit. Carter's energy trouble is deeper than anyone can imagine. He says he will veto the $37,000 million weapons bill because of not getting cooperation on the energy bill, and because USA is considering the Congress to build a nuclear aircraft carrier that is just a fat gift to certain lobbyist interests. However, he wants to assist those who are more weapon-minded in supplying assistance to those who want to put weapons and equipment into Europe. He sees the Soviet Union as a great threat. Another congressman wants to spread the gifts around all over the USA to different lobbying interests who want to build up weapons that are not needed. 37,000 million. Can't even feed the people, can't even hospitalize people, can't even clean up their air, can't even provide jobs, and 37,000 million. 90% of the weapons that they are making have never yet been even planned or designed for use in war thus far. That shows you how much boondoggling, how war is just one of the capitalistic methods of maintaining its life when it's about to go down the tube. The sodium nitrates, the FDA said they would try to phase them out, but no final plans. Anyone using the sodium nitrates who've eaten hot dogs, I think they used to call them, and bacon all their life from childhood on up to middle years, unless they stop, are doomed to have cancer before they die. Yet the Federal Drug Administration, USA, cannot say for sure that there will be a phasing out of this terrible sodium nitrate. Not only is it in meat, sausages, chicken, poultry, every meat on earth, USA, but it's also in lots of other foods. As I said, strangely enough, two bus crashes in 1 week's time, the same area, both killing retarded children. The same amount of people were on the bus this week as were on the bus a week ago. Either you believe that there are rather strange and bizarre happenings in terms of threes, or there is a conspiracy in capitalist Canada, which is 70% owned by USA, to get rid of their and their precious little handicapped children. I wouldn't put that past them either. 2-1, Democrats prefer Kennedy to Carter. Kennedy is for medical insurance guaranteed, which is supposedly popular with a number of the people. Now, I don't mean socialized medicine, a medical program like Blue Cross, where everybody can pay into it about $20 or $30 a month, and then we'll be able to get their medical needs taken care of. Not drugs, no doctor's visits or anything like that. However, the NBC thinks that the country's in a conservative mood, aroused over taxes and over the threat of Soviet might, new Cold War hate and fear, and they do not think that Kennedy has much likelihood of being successor. Even if he were to replace an incumbent president, there has never been a case in history in USA where the president incumbent was replaced by some other office seeker and that party then succeeded. Also, ABC thinks Chappaquiddick or something, whatever, I've forgotten the name of the word, wherever a young woman died. And so even though he was probably only drunk, it was accidental homicide. So the U.S. family is always forgiving. Yeah, forgiving if you're capitalist. Others claim, you know, at the time that the young woman he was dating out on after a drunken party, that he actually swam away and didn't try to get her out in the car, even though he could have. Who knows? Anyway, her family was left deeply disheartened. I remember them writing us when we gave them encouragement when their daughter was being vilified in the newspaper, and seemingly Mr. Kennedy was not suffering much at all. But the general feeling of the news is that that would not be held against him. The thing that will be held against him is his liberalish position on medical, guaranteed medical insurance, because the USA is in a very conservative mood. Said Carter also is no Henry VIII that will abdicate to Camelot. He's not going to get out of the way easy. He would cause a lot of disturbance in the party and probably divide, triple the Democrat Party so badly that no successor could win, even if he were displaced. Natural gas compromise in jeopardy again because of further complaints by various elements of the Congress. Memphis strike down the last minute. No, it is not settled. There thought to be, for a moment, there would be a peaceful settlement, but the police and firemen and other sympathetic unions have walked out. So Memphis is still in an uproar. Terror siege on Chicago and Chicago, Michigan, going to ABC with a victory for sanity and for U.S.'s position never to give in to terrorists. Boy, they'll never hear the last of that. Those Croatian socialists who wanted independence from non-aligned Yugoslavia will never hear the last of that, nor will any other person thinking of making a demonstration be likely to be quite as encouraged as before, because they walked off to face life imprisonment. They got not one of their demands met, not one. They didn't stay long enough to get one demand met. The one person they wanted freed from West Germany, nothing. Nothing was done at all. Study being held in one state, at least, well, at least in Atlanta, on extensive probation as alternatives to prison for nonviolent crimes, because the jails of USA are so packed full that people do not know what they're going to do with all the prisoners. The Federal Reserve Board raises its rate 7.5% to 7.75%. The libel case against the two U.S. news correspondents for not obliging the court system. The Soviet court, for the time being, has dropped the case. There may be considerations taken in the diplomatic arena, but the Soviet court has dropped the charges against Greg Whitney than the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times. The Voice of America is shouting and screaming that world opinion has already gotten the message. The Soviet Union comes back that we have not had the last word. It is not our desire to cause oppression to the individual, but we will have our laws respected and safeguarded. So we will await what the Soviets are doing. The Soviets seem to be following a careful course, trying to avoid nuclear war, or anything that can be used as a pretext to build up an excuse for USA's harsh line, renewed Cold War tactics. Ginsburg, in spite of U.S. pressure, due to selling materials, secret information to the CIA, his appeal has been denied. He has 8 years in a rehabilitation center. He was not present at the decision. He declined to be there, said the Soviet press. Czech. Two dissidents in Prague say police reinforced in the city to put down dissent in capital. Because some of the anarchists and the revisionists are trying to import terrorism into Czechoslovakia on the anniversary of the Czechoslovakian nation going communist. The Swiss at the UN say it's okay, the job is okay for Galli Nikoski, the U.S. says is a spy. The United Nations is not going to yield to the U.S. pressure about someone who U.S. is ballyhooing about having a UN appointment, charging that she's a spy. UN votes U.S. protest down. Rhodesia Smith's statement clears the way for an all-party meeting, and then, for some reason, he's backed up and is still in a standstill. In spite of all efforts made against James Earl Ray, his testimony still strongly leads to a conspiracy, said BBC, the conclusion that there was a conspiracy involved in the murder of Martin Luther King. He has retracted his confession and has stood by his testimony through these horrible hours of grilling. Texaco. Oil, natural gas off the coast of New Jersey. 9.4 cubic feet of natural gas, not high quality, however, oil, can be pumped out a day from each of the two wells. Some of this news is about as interesting as how many cavities Mr. Nixon has in his teeth, I'm sure. Beirut, Friday, Lebanon, shelling. Both sides deny they're responsible. I guess it came from the little men from Mars. Christian militiamen are the likely ones, though, backed up by Zionists. The Christian militiamen are making plans in eastern Beirut. They are the right wing, the fascists, just like you saw and for whom the bells tolled that you'll see after the socialist crisis tonight. Soviet secret police can take up duties as chief of personnel. He's a former Soviet secret police person, that is, according to U.S. charges, in the NKVD or the KGB. Swiss approve of it. He will be the chief of personnel of the United Nations. Galli Nikoski, it's not a woman, but a man. Allegations against him by the USA were not established. The United Nations said they're tired of being a form for USA's political stage playing. British ambassador also protested vehemently. Confidential information in personnel files, and they're afraid that this new chief of personnel, connected with the KGB, as they say, will be getting information out about not only members of the Soviet bloc, but in the personnel section is information on the character defects, he said the British ambassador, of both British personnel and U.S. personnel. Character defects. Well, I'm surprised the capitalists would ever admit that they have any character defects. Well, the rest of the United Nations are not convinced, so the Soviet will be appointed to the chief of personnel, the chief of personnel in the United Nations sector. And the balloon. All I hear is the goddamn balloon. Arouse the world, said Voice of America just a moment ago. For about 80 days, people have been talking about nothing but the balloon. And I'm not even going to give you the names of the fools who, when they landed in the wheat field outside of Paris, planted the U.S. flag and caused the French left to be irate. But the capitalist French are equally as crazy because Air France is giving them a ride home. And I hope when the bastards arrive in New York, that's the last we hear about the balloon. Common market, $387 million bought on the common market in shares, $379 million sold. There is an imbalance that is rather frightening in the common market. Arab oil, slight in U.S. Because of Arab oil, U.S. has continued deficits in its balance of trade. Eastern Europe, bought from West Europe and Japan, some of their commodities to try to help them. Apparently, the socialist world is trying to help keep the world from collapsing. I don't know what the reasoning for that may be. Trade has slowed down to such a considerable degree, and I presume that the Soviets feel that there's such madness in the Pentagon that if the capitalist world were to collapse economically right now, there would be no alternative but a nuclear war. Vietnam and Chinese still having their border exchanges, refugee problems, student exchanges between China and Washington will be taking place soon. Washington will determine how many Chinese students, several hundred, will be coming to learn technical skills. Carter believes the new leadership of China is reaching out in a spirit of friendship. However, China is requiring that more U.S. students and Peace Corps students come to China to be educated in the academics. The catch is, the Chinese will be getting technical training, and if the American students, those impressionable, protected little bourgeoisie youngsters, get into the Soviet Union, I mean into China, they will undoubtedly, in the academics, get a Marxist-Leninist course. As I said earlier, we know who wins in the exchange. Terrible rains have been caused in Karachi. Various parts of the subcontinent. We're having a lot of weather disturbances. Much of it's being blamed on prior past performances of the CIA in weather modification. Dozens were killed in the rains in Karachi. Houses have collapsed and buildings everywhere. Hundreds of thousands of families may have to be evacuated before it is over with. Carter vetoes major defense spending bill, as I said he would. He threatens to veto two more tax bills. He criticizes Congress on not caring about the people acting on energy matters. Criticizes the press for the coverage of Tip O'Neill and trying to show division in the Democrat ranks. And he criticizes the press for trying to create division between him and Senator Kennedy. His disagreements with Kennedy, he said, could be worked out, but not on the platform of a sensational press. I agree with him about the U.S. press, troublemaking all the time, troublemaking. Anytime they're in some act, you can know whoever they're against, you ought to be for. Not that Carter's any great choice, but when they champion anybody else, you can bet your life it's in the interest of capitalism because they're the arm, the obedient servant of capitalism. Excuse me a little bit today, as I said, my head's a little tight, and I've not quite rested as much as I should be, but I'll get the news out, and I'm about to complete. United Nations Conference Against Racism, Geneva. The Angolan representative demands sanctions against Rhodesia and Union of South Africa. Also, the Organization of African Unity condemns Western cooperation U.S. imperialists and our likest cooperation with blatant racists.
Bomb, bacteriological, and chemical warfare. They refuse to give any assurances that they will not involve, the USA will not involve its government against genocide. The genocide, which means mass murder against its own people or other nations. So the Soviets said, time is running out. They're going to have to get on with their plan. Self-defense. What that means? Who knows? They got a platform up in space, some kind of heat, sensory radiation. Who knows? Who knows? But the socialists have to protect themselves. They can remain helpless. The cosmonauts are now growing onions and other kinds of food in their space platform out in outer space. And doing other kinds of technological and scientific experiments that cannot be revealed to the public. He said, what a feat. In 3 years, 30 new colleges and universities have been built in the Soviet Union just for agriculture. 16,000 miles of glass pipeline. Heat and acid resistance, better than stainless steel, is being produced in the Soviet Union each year, and will be also available to a third-world developing nation. We can get some of that. They're making 16,000 miles of glass pipeline every year in the Soviet Union, well, that are heat and acid resistant, better than stainless steel. We ought to look into that, have them look into that here in the radio room when our when Marshall visits the Soviet embassy this week. The World Conference Against Racism, USSR nationality, policy of Soviet government, the quality of its citizens were praised by the World Conference without one dissent. 120 meetings in Geneva, Switzerland have been giving great praise to the Soviet Union, and it's almost taken the wind out of USA's so-called campaign about Soviet mistreatment of their dissidents. The Soviet citizens have self-determination against racial and national discrimination. USSR policy in Africa is on the right side of every question. They're always on the side of liberation struggles, as they have been in Zimbabwe, Namibia, and even in South Africa. We can find no fault of the United Nations. Race, including the city of Michigan, 120 in some days. Council for Economic Assistance, United Nations, 10 countries. They singled out for assistance, especially in Vietnam, Cuba, Poland, others. They'll be given special technical assistance in their five-year plans, which are being very productive, and they want, it's not so much giving them financial aid, the United Nations want to be able to observe on the spot their five-year plans, economics and agriculture, because they've had industrial output increase of 18% in the last year and a half. Socialist bloc has seen overall one-third growth, maybe 3 1/3% growth in their gross national profit. The rate of economic growth in the common market has, of course, fallen, as well as in the USA, by 5%, while it's growing in the socialist bloc. No wonder the US capitalists is having such trouble, and perhaps that's the reason the Soviet bloc is giving them some economic assistance, because they fear that looking at their failure so badly, they may be tempted to do something tempestuous and chaotic. Think about a nuclear war. The Soviets seem to be trying very hard to avoid. They're not pragmatic like the Chinese. You feel it's going to happen anyway, so you might as well get it over with before it destroys all the world. The UN Commission on Racism, responding to a USA complaint about Hungary being enslaved, the Soviets said that Hungary is completely independent. It is a totally independent socialist nation. Romania, attention came also in the Council on Race about Romania being pressured by the Soviets. The Convention Against Racism, the United Nations, back in Geneva, said, again, we have an economy that is mutual economic assistance with losing, an ally of the Soviet Union, but no way intimidated or pressured by the Soviet Union. Completely independent. Obviously so. China is there now, negotiating trade with Romania, that is an ally of the Soviet Union. Andrew Young, recently said, as you know, thousands of political prisoners in the United States, the 30th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in the United States, U.S. is defiant on human rights, will not sign genocide, will not have a racial discrimination carpet, even on its own soil. Why started the Commission of Meeting Now Against on Racism in Geneva? It only ratified, as you know, less than 10 out of 20 documents for human rights. Will give no guarantee that it will not kill men, genocide, mass murder against its own population or other nations. So, the UN Commission on Against Racism held U.S. responsible for tens of thousands of civil rights workers kept in jail. When approached for an interview, Andrew Young was speechless and faced with the evidence. Defense of human rights for export only, said one aide of Young. Nameless aide said that the only thing the United States defends in reference to human rights is to export it, not to do it at home. They didn't give his name. Foreign troops in the Soviet Union then increased their thousands they'd already planned to take in last week, give them free education, medical, monthly maintenance, grants, vacation on the best resorts in the Black Sea. They're going to increase it, but they can reach up to 100,000. They'll be able to come and go on any form of commercial travel, airlines, trains, subways, and so forth. 100,000 third world people to be educated in the Soviet Union. I can assure you no such thing is happening like that in the USA. Remember that we have to see after socialist classes. I want the socialist classes a strong discussion about Rosenberg. A great book, a play, was written by the author who knows we're under a conspiracy. He's coming to, in the next few hours, to write about it. Everything's got to be gotten in order. He said that Stone's in the CIA. He also did a beautiful play about the Rosenberg. So in the first hour, we must discuss that very strongly, about the near poor boy, two children that were orphaned by their mom and dad. The Rosenbergs were charged with being spies in the Soviet Union, and they could have avoided having anything happen to them. You know, I gave you the news just yesterday. They could have avoided any kind of recrimination. They could have avoided the electric chair. They were just lied and said that the Soviet Union was not really interested in the well-being of Jews and the Jews. It worked to build Israel. But the Rosenberg would not make this stand. They would not repent. They would not do any number of alternatives at all, because one of them was just what I said. They would make an appeal to the world Jewish population not to have faith in the Soviet Union, but to put their strength and their trial and their ambition toward building the state of Israel. As a result, they were framed on the criminal evidence. Later I will give you some of the horrifying information about how they concluded, how they made the press and the government conclude that James Earl Ray was the lone assassin. There was a woman named Grace Walden who described the man she had seen flee from the bathroom. He was short, had salt, pepper, hair, a man in his late 50s. He appeared be very sober and alert, said the Memphis judge now, and he's then a reporter for the Memphis Press. Quite sober and alert. But she was in a weakened condition because she lived in a poverty area. I believe she said she had recently been released from the hospital for some serious physical illness. Charlie Stevens, on the other hand, was wildly drunk. Bessie Brewer, who ran the meeting house, told me, a reporter, pay no attention to Charlie because he was drunk. He didn't know what he was talking about. I distinctly recall that Charlie Stevens said to me, it was a nigger that done it, and that's all he could say, repeating his racism over and over again. And I'll give you a quote from the Memphis Press Senator, S-C-I-M-I-T-A-R, the reporter who's now a lawyer judge, Wayne Chastain. Well, anyway, police arrived on the scene and took Walden and Stevens to headquarters where they were questioned. Walden stated the man she saw flee from the bathroom held something in the right hand and he was approximately 5 feet, 5 inches tall. He kept saying this over and again, very thin and a dark complexion. He was in his late 50s or early 60s. He said that he wore a hunting jacket, a neutral color, that was open near the neck, that he could see a bright flag, our checkered shirt under his jacket. He was very detailed. According to Thomas Smith, the chief investigator of the Memphis Police and the King Assassination, Charlie Sweeney was in a drunken condition and unable to tell us anything at that time. Smith is now a Memphis Police captain in charge of homicide. Earlier this year, we told reporters on BBC News Broadcasting Corporation television that he had seen Stevens minutes after the assassination, and that Stevens was drunk at the time and unable to provide any reliable information. Approximately 2 months later, James Earl Ray was arrested in London. At that time, FBI agents asked Ray Walden to sign an affidavit so that Ray could be extradited. When she saw Ray's picture, she said adamantly, "They got the wrong man. This man is the man. He doesn't look anything at all like the man I saw come out of the bathroom." The bathroom was supposed to be the place where Kate Stiller mowed and shot him after the FBI cleverly got him clean to move to a black motel. But he had just not the man. At the time, Ray was 39 years old. Ray is 5'11", not 5'5", and he is 50, and a man in the 50s. Ray has a light complexion, not a dark complexion, as you said. Walden refused to sign the affidavit. She refused. She was threatened and frightened by the agent, said the Memphis Senator, now judge, reporter. She was threatened and frightened by the agent, but refused to identify Ray as the man she sees. The fact is, it doesn't look a thing like him, she said shortly after she arrived home. Walden was arrested. Shortly after she arrived home, Walden, the lady, was arrested by two officers of the Memphis Homicide Squad and taken to the mental hospital ward of John Gaston Hospital, G-A-S-T-O-N, City Hospital in Memphis. She was held there for several weeks and then committed to Western State Hospital in Bolivar, B-O-L-I-V-A-R, Tennessee. The charge made against her was that she was elucidating that the patient thinks she was a witness to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, and the police records clearly said she was, but not giving what the conspiracy of the police, the Memphis, and the FBI wanted. They charge her with being insane. They think she's elucidating. They think she's a witness to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. She was held in seclusion in that institution as the defense team sought to represent the case, prepared for James Earl Ray, who's now bald. Notation in the hospital records says that she should be kept in the hospital until the real murder trial is over, said the Memphis Press Senator reporter. He has the notation, and no one's asked him. Asked for them in the select committee, yeah, very select committee, because white boys, the select committee on assassinations in the House of Representatives, not even have these records that he has. The hospital records reveal also, I remember, that it said right on the record of this patient that she was kept in the hospital until the brain murder trial is over. The hospital record also revealed that she was not to be released until the homicide squad of the Memphis Police Department and the FBI said so. 10 years later, she was still in the mental institution in Bolivar, Tennessee. With Grace Walden out of the way, Memphis police arranged for Charlie Stevens, who was dead drunk, who had been arrested more than 200 times for being publicly drunk, to get all the liquor he wished, and if the police department, an FBI, or somebody would pay for it. In that condition, and after he had been promised $100,000 reward, Charles T. Stevens changed his testimony that it was a black man that did it, or a dark-skinned person, signed an affidavit identifying James Earl Ray as the man he saw sleep in the bathroom. James Earl Ray said it was a Cuban. Well, the redneck Tennessean, they would all look the same. Even a drunk man would see a person looking at the color. They see all of us alike. I know some of us who are Asian, Indian, and black, those are light-skinned, feel like we're not all seen alike, but in the eyes of redneck, we all look alike. But when he got all this money and all this liquor, he finally agreed and identified, signed an extradition offer or order, identifying James Earl Ray as the man he saw sleep in the bathroom after the shot was fired. The federal authorities who prepared that affidavit and submitted it to a court in London in order to secure Ray's presence in the United States knew that the affidavit was false, said Judge Wayne Chastain, former reporter of Memphis Press Senator. They knew it was an absolute false, yet with the exception of James Earl Ray's own coerced, forced under pressure confession, the only evidence that ties Ray to the murder is this perjured, absolutely framed
Department diminished. Ray's ability to resist the federal police psychological and torturous pressure to him. They waged a psychological war against him. He was informed that if he did not plead guilty, his brother Jerry would be indicted as a co-conspirator in the murder of Dr. King and probably executed. Ray responded that neither he nor his brother had killed Martin Luther King, and that he was not afraid of a trial. Finally,
in some other forms that the FBI had determined that Ray's father, that an elderly man, had violated parole in Iowa, state of Iowa, more than 40 years before. Ray was informed that if he did not agree to plead guilty, his father would be arrested, transported to Iowa, and die in prison. Ray's resistance at that time collapsed. He agreed to plead guilty, but when Ray pleaded guilty in open court, he asserted that there had been a conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King even at the time. The trial judge ordered him to remain silent. Like I've said all these years, they've got the wrong man. When they went back to see Mrs. Walden, who was kept in mental hospitals conveniently all that time, just the other day in an unprecedented news conference, the religious leaders of Memphis, joined by black civil rights leaders from throughout the country, demanded the immediate release of Grace Walden and a trial for James Earl Ray. Reverend Samuel Kyles, at whose home King was to have had dinner just 10 years before, read the statement. Other assistants with whom Dr. King had been working closely were speaking when he was killed, eloquently supported the demand. Anyway, in closing this out, when Grace Walden was finally cleared and said she was mentally competent, now she's finally been called mentally competent, and her last interview this week was, before the interview began, she was given psychiatric drugs again, trying to keep her confused. Yet through the drugs and the manipulated interview came her simple and clear message. Like I've said all these years, they've got the wrong man. James Earl Ray was not the man who came out of that bathroom 10 years ago. Secretly, the state authorities placed Walden now, since that interview a few weeks ago, in a boarding house in Memphis, had a local Memphis lawyer appointed as her guardian, and announced that she had been freed. But she has been secreted away, and we don't know where she is at this present time. That's how much of a conspiracy you've got in USA. Remember, 10 minutes, gather in the pavilion immediately for your classes in your own class grouping. Study much about Rosenberg and other areas that you need to review. There will not be a written test. It'll be tomorrow, definitely and surely. Be sure you know how. Do some testing in each class so people know how to respond to guests. Know the Rosenbergs. Then come right into the pavilion, the theater pavilion, after your classes for the film that is required by all, For Whom the Bells Toll. If you get that message alone, it's a remarkable movie with Gary Cooper and Ingrid Bergman. It's a remarkable movie of revolutionary tactics, strategy, and sensitivity. How the socialists in Spain were bombarded by U.S. capitalism through Hitler's Germany, and yet they held out bravely for 3 years. I've reviewed it before, and I will do it again. I want everyone to see it for review. Thank you, and much, much love.
And without it, the universe is a mess. God is no respecter of persons, is the law of Scripture. Now, if there wasn't for reincarnation, then with someone being crippled, and someone being poor, and someone being rich, and someone being a have-not, and someone being a have, the world could never say, the Scripture could never say, God was no respecter of persons, because we know in one lifetime, some people don't get a fair shake. They don't get a fair shake, but if you've lived 5, 10, or 15 lives, maybe you've been a king yesterday, and now you're a common servant because you did not learn. You did not carry the laurels of power and responsibility well. Then you can see at least some shaping up of equality. Without it, you might as well chuck God off. You better listen to me. Some of you never got this teaching. You want healing. You'll never get healing until you understand the truth. It isn't my hand that sets you free. It is my truth. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Not maybe, but will set you free. No two ways about it, the truth sets you free. And I don't often teach, but when I do, they're precious gems for your consciousness, and you better listen to them closely, because they're the keynote to salvation. How long will you halt between two opinions? The opinion of self that says, hold on to all that you've got. Give a dollar here, $5 there, $10 there, and have your color TV at home and your clothes that you don't need. You know, you've got to live like Father walks. I have put on Christ, you see. I have followed after the example of Christ. When you see me, that's the mystery. That's the mystery. It's no longer Jim Jones here. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives here. Now Christ is in this body because I don't own cars or lands. Money does not possess me. I've adopted children. I've given. I only keep money as a means of exchange to help those that have come to me for salvation. I don't have any expensive clothes, no rings, though my people would give me diamonds if I were to have them. I have no watches, though they would give me watches, and I turn around and let them go for the cause. I have no new car, never have. I've never bought a pair of new shoes. And you say, I want to get Father's blessing. You will not get Father, you will not get Christ in Jim Jones's blessing until you walk like Jim Jones, until you talk like Jim Jones, until you act like Jim Jones, until you look like Jim Jones. How long will I be with you until you understand that I am no longer a man, but a principle? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you wouldn't be here tonight. So now's your opportunity. If you'd known me in the beginning, you would have known me and the Father. I and the Father are one. Also, henceforth, you do know him, the Father, because you have seen him. Have I been with you so long that you know not who is in your midst? How long do I have to look out upon you, Philip? How long do I have to look out and I see Philip here tonight? How long do I have to look at Philip? How long do I have to look at you, John? How long do I have to look at you, Peter, and say, I have been with you so long and you know not who I am? Either get with it or hit the road. This is God's house. There have been four people dropped dead or started the process of death in the last 2 weeks. One of them, a white sister sitting right here in the second row. She can tell you, don't underestimate the power that's here. I'd advise you to get out of this house because the power is so strong here. It can slay you like I did, Ananias and Sapphira. I'd give everyone a kindly word that does not enter into this consciousness because the power is on you. And when you touch God, you have touched a live wire that will destroy you and all his adversaries. Try not to figure out my calling in your own understanding. You have not suffered enough. You have not walked through the dens of thieves. You've not gone into the prisons for someone that's been kicked. Some of you wouldn't even go for your own wife. Some of you have not even been true to your own wife like what I'm looking at. You lollygagging, languishing whoremonger. So you could not understand my spirit. I have given everything. I would die for everyone in this room, not to mention the children that are close to the heart of God, not to mention the disciples of the Christ. I would go even for you that are followers afar off. I would die for you. So you could not understand me. Someone said, Wednesday, I did not understand what you were doing. How could you understand? Because you're in another plane. You've not yet reached to that which I am. How can you know what I'm doing? You never want to worry about it. Just take it. And be gracious to take it, as one sister did. Two or three asked that question. One sister asked me directly. That was the place to ask me. Sister Joy asked me directly. But don't wonder about God. Who are you to figure out the mind of God? Who are you to figure out the ways of God? Who can know the mind of God? His ways are so high above your ways that they're unfathomable, so far out of your reach. Who can know the ways of God but the God ideal himself? I don't understand this reference to you as God. Then you don't understand scripture. You shouldn't have been here in the first place. Jesus said when they wanted to crucify him, he said, it is written. They were going to kill him for the same thing they want to kill me for, and they want to kill you for, because we call this a Godship degree. We won't let anybody take that away from us. We're in the Godship Academy. We're in the Fathership School, and we're not going to change that. No matter how many news articles come out, God is here, and he's here to stay. You don't know your right hand from your left. You show it by your ignorance. When they were going to take Jesus, he said, "For what good work do you take me?" Some people say, "You're not just like Jesus. You've not done everything he's done." Well, I wouldn't be too quick to say that Jesus is doing any less today than he did then, because in fact he said, "These things shall you do, and greater, because I have come as a Nazarene." And the next time I come, he said, "It'll be greater." I don't ask you what you're up to. Jesus said there in the scripture, he said, "For what good work do you stone me?" Jesus wasn't even sure why they were stoning him. So he asked them a question, "For what good work do you stone me?" He didn't have as much discernment in that consciousness as some of you know is here today. Jesus said, "What good work do you stone me?" And that blasphemer said, "Why, not for any good work, but because you, being a man, make yourself God." And then Jesus said, with such direction and such power, he said, "Well, it is written, to whom the scriptures has come and it cannot be broken, ye are all gods." I wouldn't allow this to be removed. I am God, and so shall you become God. If you take a likeness, a picture, and reproduce it of this likeness and this spirit in you, you'll reproduce a greater picture. Oh, God is on the scene, and God intends to remain on the scene, and he will never remove from the scene. So glad God Almighty is here. So glad that we don't have to talk. Hallelujah. Asking the same ridiculous questions, you know. They used to ask in the sonship degree, "Well, why don't you fast?" Say, "Well, you don't need to fast when the bridegroom's here." Some asked us, "Well, you don't pray. You don't pray to heaven. Why would we pray when the captain of our salvation, the healer of all healers, the deliverer of the ages, the beginning and the end, why would we bother to pray when he's already here and sees us and knows our cry before we call? Hears our call before we ask. He's aware. We don't have to tell God anything. You ignorant people, you don't know your right hand from your left." Same stupidity prevailed in the day of Jesus. They said to Jesus, "Why don't you fast?" He said, "You don't fast when the bridegroom is in the house. You don't fast when the bridegroom's here. You don't pray when the bridegroom's here. When the Father's here, who do you have to pray to? You don't have to get on your knees anymore. When God has appeared, when he's come in the likeness of mortal flesh, you don't have to pray anymore." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the time's going to come when you no longer pray to me. You'll speak to the Father directly. So you no longer ask me to go to the Father, but you'll speak to the Father directly. We're not in a praying house here. We're in a speaking house. The spoken word is here. The word is made flesh. We don't pray and beg anymore. We don't grovel around on our knees anymore. We can talk God to face to face, and we can hear God with our own ears and with our own understanding. So glad that I know this truth. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority or understanding. The Father dwells in me. He's doing the speaking. But when you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and vice versa. If you just believe in me, I can give you the keynote to salvation. I've got it. I've got it. If you just believe in me. This is the treasure hidden in earthen vessels. And we don't want to go back on light. It's too precious. It's too precious. I swear to you that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was and is to come. This is your salvation. You are looking at the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Some are in the room are sick and asleep because they don't discern the body of Christ. They don't understand the Godship degree. Jesus said, we all are gods. And I had to come back to remind you what I told you 2,000 years ago. I'm on the scene to tell you, ye are gods. Cannot take it away. Won't let you take it away. So don't be judges of the fact that my people say, I am God. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye all are gods. Matthew 5 makes that unutterably clear. Unalterably clear. Ye are gods. So why shouldn't I, who have raised the dead, I, who never ask any question, I don't say, for what good work do you stone me? I told you before September 16th came what Reverend Ken Solving was going to do. I told you what the newspaper was going to say, what it was going to do to us, not in detail word for word, but I told you what was going to come on September 16th. I told you. I didn't ask anyone. So this is a greater day than the day of Nazareth. I'm telling you this evening that if you don't free yourself of mortality, you'll be back here again and again and again, and you'll have to toy with this body again, and it'll be crucified before you again, and I always will be crucified. I know that. I'll tell you now, I will not always be with you, not in this body, but I will always be crucified for you. And there will be those that will deny me. You're shouting with the height of glory tonight. But when they come to make their false charges and accusations, when the man, the system comes to want to destroy, to uproot this divine economy, because capitalistic indulgence, imperialism is threatened by this apostolic sharing. When they finally come, some of you say, I never knew him. Some of you will be asleep on that awesome morning, and you'll say, I can't stay up, it's too hard. Just like they did, just like some of you did in the garden. And I looked out and said, would you not tarry an hour with me? Can't you stay awake just an hour? Just an hour. And people were sawing wood all over that little walled garden. Please don't lose your soul. This is no funny trip. This is not the amusement park. This is not Funhouse Lane. This is the death of self movement. This is the denied life. If any man would come after me, let him first take up his cross. You can't hang my cross around you. You can't hang Jesus' cross. You ought to yank those little old gold crosses off. The idea of putting a gold cross on your neck. Jesus died on splintered wood, and it wasn't even a cross, it was a T-shaped piece, just a T-piece, and his head hung low over it. It wasn't a cross like that, it was like that. And you hang a gold cross around your neck, I'd yank that idolatry off, I'd jerk it off now and throw it aside. They've got you poisoned to think that the cross of gold or Mary's heart or thorns of Jesus' brow is going to do anything for you. You can't do anything through Jesus' cross. I said, as I said then in that Bible, if any man would come after me, let him take up his own cross and deny himself. Sell what you have. Enter into cooperative living. Get rid of all those wares that you will let possess you. Surely you know a man of my strength could get all I wanted in this land if I wanted. I could have a fine Cadillac out there, but I don't own any car. I could have a new car waiting for me anytime I wanted it. But I came to bring the spirit of sharing and the spirit of caring. How many will follow me? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I have not mourned. You'd better start learning. Have you mourned over Vietnam? Have you mourned over the blacks that are being cut down like dogs because they want justice? Have you mourned over the poor, pitiful Indians as you travel through the areas of New Mexico and Dakotas that only live to be 42 years of age? Have you mourned over suffering humanity? I've heard it said this is a time of joy. It's a time of joy only after you've learned to mourn, and some of you have never cried for anyone. You only cried for yourself. You've only cried. You're here tonight. You want me to heal you. You're crying over your ache and pain. When I walk down the aisles, and I will, and I'll call out the sick, and I will, and I'll take growths away, and I always do. And as I did last night, caused a paralyzed woman to get her strength and to run and dance. As I always do, I will continue that spirit. But there'll be those that'll pass me and say, my nose, my toes, my knee, my aching back. You won't ever get any help from me because you cannot come here with that consciousness. It's not to mourn over yourself. It's not to mourn over your own stomach pains. I have borne all your pains from the beginning. I'm in constant pain from the top of my fingertip to the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. When I enter into a congregation, I take your infirmities into my body. If anybody should be sick, it should be I. If anybody should die, it should be me, because I'm dying 1,000 deaths for all of you. I don't ask anybody to take my toe ache. I don't ask anybody to take my cancer. I don't ask anybody to take my headaches. I take my headaches and your headaches because I have come to save you, and I will not be denied. I will not be denied from that which I have come to do. I shall see the travail of my soul and be satisfied. I will be lifted up, and I will draw all men and all women unto me. Oh, yes, I shall. None shall hinder me. None can prevent the spirit and the body of Christ. So are you mourning for those that are oppressed? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall see God. Oh, look into your heart tonight. Look into your heart. Blessed are the meek, the people who don't act haughty in pride, for finally they're going to inherit the earth. Love simplicity. Don't lose the common touch for the least little flower or even a weed. Walk with the lowly. You'll inherit the earth. I know that there are those in Washington who think they're going to inherit it, but on a certain 309 at the 16th, they're going to be made low. They're not going to be able to find one atom of them left. The generals will one day, not long.